everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today. We have had kind of a free month in March, and so it gives us the chance to do some bonus content. So today we are talking about one of our favorite Hall Stars, one of everybody's favorite Hall Stars. We are going to be talking about the movies of Tyler Hines. This is going to be very fun, and we have a very special guest with us, his biggest fan on Twitter with us today. So thank you so much. The home of the Hines Shirts Twitter account is here, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Rachel, as the wardrobe mistress, I am honored. So this is really going to be fun.
Yeah. So,
I'm really psyched for this. This is really going to be great.
Yeah. So how long have you been a fan of Hallmark films?
Oh my gosh. I do not want to age myself, but yes, for a very long time.
Very long time.
Very long time. Let's just say back to Levens and Days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. I'm an oldie. I'm oldie as far as Hallmark viewership as well. Go back to...
You know, it really adds to the appreciation. Yeah. Because as the production quality grows, and especially... I'm in the industry, full disclosure, not in the Hallmark realm, but I have a real appreciation, not just as a fan, but also as an industry person, appreciating as things evolve, whether it's story-wise or production quality-wise or whatever. Or, like in the case of Tyler, he really caught my eye. Yeah. There was something really fresh and different about him from the usual casting. So...
Yeah, it's interesting because I interviewed Tyler before his first movie had come out. And
yes, great interview, by the way.
Thank you. He was wonderful and charming, but I wasn't 100% sure if he'd be a great fit, you know, if people would accept sort of his style. And
yes.
and then, you know, because I hadn't seen a movie of him. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Hello.
He's so good. and it transferred so well. And I think it was a real breath of fresh air for the whole Hallmark scene.
I totally sat up and took notice. I mean, right? Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to lie. Hallmark is definitely on in the background sometimes.
Right. Oh
it's
yeah.
It's not like I'm sitting there with a bowl of popcorn every time I see a Hallmark movie. it's sort of like, you know, not exactly elevator
noise. Speaking
of
the background.
Oh my God! No way! Oh, Rachel, you've got me. Tyler.
It was such a hard secret to keep.
How did you do that? Oh my God. So slaying me. Oh my gosh.
If you don't know, listeners, we have a special guest here on the podcast.
Too funny.
Thanks for coming on and talking with us.
So hold on, are we conducting this interview as the shirts? Or are we outing these true identity of the shirts?
No.
True identity. That is my one thing. I was adamant with Rachel. It's like, yes. No, I need to keep my
the identity safe like that.
Oh yeah. My God, dude, you've got rabid fans. I am not prepared to step into that world.
So Tyler, the last time we had you on, you hadn't been in any Hallmark movies. They were still coming.
I had not.
Yes.
Why were you calling me then? Why was I being interviewed about it?
Because we're on top of things at the Hallmarkies podcast.
But now you've had this. I love it.
You've had this amazing ride of so many good movies. People love you. People want your clothing. I mean, this is something pretty amazing, this ride that you've had.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, once maybe, I mean, we pushed my clothing upon people. It's really I've offloaded my clothing from these movies. No disrespect to the Heinz shirts.
I was going to say, wardrobe constantly refurbishing. Although Henleys are definitely in demand. They can get a little cocky at times in the wardrobe. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
But what has this been like for you? Like making these movies and just the whole new world of Hallmark?
It's been amazing. Everybody's been very, very sweet. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the shirts have been a true treasure and pleasure to watch that do its thing. It's been very fun. Everybody's very, very sweet, you guys included. It's like it's a very, very sweet family to be a part of. And I think I kind of lucked my way into it. I'm not sure how that happened, but very grateful, very happy. It's been a lot of fun. The fans are really, really good people, and it's nice to hear from them.
Yeah.
They truly are. Well, we were just talking about that. I think that you have a freshness about you that really, I think just, I don't know. I guess we'll use the word resonated. It just really, I know I stood up and took notice right away. It really caught my eye.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I don't have the full sort of overview as you guys have. I wasn't super privy to the movies prior to doing them, and I haven't seen very many others than the ones that I've been a part of. And that's nice to hear, you know, because there's a lot of these movies being made, and there's a lot of very sweet, talented, great people who work on them. And I've been able to get closer with those people, the executives at Hallmark and stuff. And it's been interesting to see the reaction, but I've just sort of taken it from my own point of view and taken the approach that I've taken with it, not knowing exactly what the outcome is. So it's really nice to hear sentiments like that people appreciate the effort and the thought that I do put into these things, because I do, you know, I like these movies. I think they're very, very sweet. I think they're very, very needed. And I try my best to make them fresh or interesting wherever I can. You know, it's a very specific kind of movie, but I think there's room to keep sort of pushing it. And I'm going to keep finding ways to keep it creative and fun. Now that I've done, I guess, 6 at this point, I think after the last one, Winter in Vail, I was wanting to take a minute to sort of reassess and see if there's any ways we can sort of evolve this thing so we can keep it interesting for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm still sort of figuring that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually,
it's interesting. Yeah. And I actually, it's funny you should say Vail, because I warned Rachel, being the geek that I am and in the industry myself, of course, I did a deep dive on IMDb Pro and was kind of analyzing, you know, who worked on each of these movies and what had they done before and what are the connections. And you know how we have that little network button we can use. I was surprised at the people I was connected with myself. And I really noticed the whole production team was dramatically different on Vail. And I found that so intriguing because it seemed different than a lot of the other ones.
Probably because it wasn't filmed in Vancouver, right?
No, yeah, that one was in Calgary. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting that you actually can notice the sort of shift in the work and the actual final product of it. Because, it was a producer who, I think it was their first Hallmark movie. We shot it in Calgary, which I don't think many are shot there. And I think we were lucky in that Terry Ingram, who's a director I did Mistletoe Secret with, we hit it off a lot on that movie and actually discovered a week, I think, into it that we had worked together when I was 13 years old.
No way.
Yeah. We both had separate stories of each other, not knowing who each other was.
That's funny.
And I forget how the show came up that we worked on together, but then I was describing this event that took place where he was having me shake a spear at a live jaguar, like feet away from me. And he's going, get closer. Can you get closer with the spear? Can you shake the spear? And I'm going, no, you come here. You shake the spear. This thing is away from me. What are you doing? Yeah. And he was like, oh, that was me who said that. I was on that set. And we realized, oh, wow, we actually worked together. And so, Yeah, we've been sort of fast friends since then.
That's cool.
Well, and of course, Tyler, you know, you can attest to this. I mean, Rachel, you can't even believe how this industry is so interrelated. It doesn't matter. I mean, literally, you find out the same people, like, all different places around the globe when you're working with people. And it's kind of crazy that way. It makes it feel like a much more intimate community.
Yeah, we got lucky because we had just worked together prior to that. And then I was literally just thinking, I think the day that he texted me that we were doing Veil together, I was like, man, it'd be really great to work with Terry again. I really enjoyed that environment. And there's a certain way in which he approaches his movies that are, I mean, every director is different, but his sort of rhythm I really responded to. And I just kind of liked the simplicity of our working environment. So the fact that he was on the next one, and I just literally thinking to myself, oh, I should text him, you know, it'd be great to do another one with him. I wish I could do them all with him. Mm-hmm. And then we were doing that one together. And then our cinematographer, Neil, he works on other shows like Arrow and these other bigger shows, and very talented guy. So I think all of that, and of course, Lacey, it's like, it was a good combination.
Absolutely.
It was the best of Winterfest.
All the movies, I appreciate it.
Best of Winterfest by far, for sure.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing I admire about you, Tyler, is you seem to have such good chemistry with all of your leading ladies. And so I was wondering, is that something you like really try to become friends with the people, or are you just so naturally effervescent and charming that you don't have to work at it?
Very, very kind of you to say. I mean, for me, I've never been one for, sometimes they like to set up these play dates on different projects where they have you go and sit down and get to know each other. I'm personally not one for those things. I think these movies are like, it's like being in high school. Like, you're all stuck in the same place all day together. There's plenty of time to horse around while you're shooting and get to know each other. And so I've never put a lot of emphasis on that. I feel like the work is the work. And if you do your work and find moments and beats inside the story that you're trying to tell, and, you know, find the good qualities within those stories to try to sort of elevate, then all that kind of takes care of itself. I've been exceptionally lucky that every co-star that I've worked with has been incredible as far as human beings. And so that obviously doesn't hurt. It makes it for a better working environment. But I think with these movies, it's like, there's just work to be done as an actor that you just kind of got to do. And I think if you do that properly, the rest kind of takes care of itself.
It's true. Because if there's good chemistry between the couple, it does like 89% of the work. I mean, you can have a pretty silly story, but I mean, most of these are on the silly side. If you buy the couple and you're enjoying that together and the script is witty enough, then that's it. It's done.
It's very important.
And you know, I love the way you were talking. Just the word organic just jumps out at me. It does. I think the way, if I can speak to what it seems like, that things just happen very organically with you, as opposed to, like you said, a prepped thing like, oh, go over and go out to dinner or do this thing, get to know your castmates. Whereas life on set, I mean, it's its own experience, and organically people get to know each other, and that translates to the screen.
Yeah. And I think for other people, it's different. You know, everybody's process is different. I have this thing inside of me where if I'm with serious people, I want to be ridiculous. If I'm with ridiculous people, I want to be serious. I always want to. So when I'm put in these circumstances that are somewhat controlled or contrived and like, hey, get to know each other and be friends, I have an instinct in me that wants to go against that somehow. So I think just for my own quirks, I'm like, that's not exactly what I mean, that being said, you know, me and Kelly Pickler, for instance, we sat down and smacked a few whiskeys the night before we started shooting, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to do that all day, but it's not necessarily for me a must for having a good working environment. Just the person themselves, is definitely will come out when they're on set and the work.
Absolutely.
You know, the goal is to make it sort of feel effortless, and the goal is to make it feel organic. And that's a priority that I make on these movies, is trying to make it feel that way, because we're watching two people have their own realizations about their lives and about each other and fall in love. And that's sort of the baseline that I always start with. And and work my way out from there. But I'm glad that it actually translates and that you guys actually feel that way about it. It's really, really nice when I hear fans say specific things like that. It's like it makes me feel good that the work sort of received as it was intended to.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Rachel, you being the expert that you are, you know, like, Hallmark fans are legit. Like, they will sniff something out if it's fake or seems real. I mean, there's just no...
Yeah, at least on our podcast, we keep it real. I've enjoyed all of your movies. And when I first interviewed, I thought, is he going to be a good fit for Hallmark? And then I watched Falling for You, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. So
I appreciate that. I think you weren't the only one who felt that way. I think the first one I did was It's Christmas Eve. And I think that circumstance happened, I think, because Leanne had picked specifically me, which I don't think I was really on the radar in any way, understandably so. I am a mess. So being a Hallmark may not have been the first choice. But they, to their, you know, credit or not, they were on board with it after the first one. They were a little tentative on the first one. And then once the first one happened, I think everybody felt comfortable and they kind of let me do my thing from there on out. It's been great ever since. So you weren't alone in thinking that I may not be the right fit for Hallmark.
Well, you know, that adds to your evolution, which has been really fun to watch.
It really has.
You know, you kind of coming out more in the humor and the sarcasm and, oh my God, your delivery. It's great.
So I'm curious, if you had to pick of the six movies you made, if you had to pick one of them that you'd most like to do a sequel for, do you think there's, which one would you pick?
That's interesting. It's tough. I think, honestly, after every one of these that we've done, there's always been sort of talk of that. I think everybody involved, and I don't know if I get the impression personally that there's just a lot of positivity in the area. And I think everybody is very nice to each other. So I don't take it too personally that people are this nice to me in particular. I feel like all these actors get this kind of love and support, which is very nice.
They're not asking for every actor's shirts, though. Let's be real.
Maybe not. Maybe they will now. Who knows? But I think what's that?
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. I was just noting today as I went through everything that there's a lot more Henleys popping up in movies.
Oh, really? Is there? Okay. Because that's something I observed in the beginning. It was at the very first wardrobe fitting. I was like trying things on and we were trying to build a look, and everything that kept getting approved was Henley's. So I was like, oh, okay. So we're in the Henley business, then, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So I just started relying on Henley's, and that was my personal joke. And so when we finished a few of these, I was like, well, why don't I just give these to people? It seems to be kind of a running gag for me. And I think the viewers maybe even notice the same thing, that Henleys just look good on these dudes. And so they end up living a lot in these movies.
Well, I think what the one that they should do the sequel on is probably Flip That Romance, because you guys could have we were saying on the podcast the other day, you could be like the Chip and Joanna of Hallmark, where you have like a home renovation show or something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely one that could have a rinse and repeat type effect of like different projects, different things, the business growing or whatever it is. It could be a lot of fun you could do with that. I think Winter in Vale obviously was, I think because the team was really special and Calgary was really special. The crew, everybody was really, really, really great out there. Not to take away with any of the other ones. The other ones have been equally as fantastic, but there was something a little different and fresh about Vale. And me and Lacey really did have a good time together. Talking about other ideas that we can do together, so that would be a good definitely I think Flip would be a good easy sort of write for the next movie.
I think so. It would be fun, and I definitely think that the Misto Secret, you guys definitely elevated it from the novel. I was not a big fan of the novel, and the novel's actually kind of creepy. It has this weird
I haven't read it.
Yes, and
I'm intrigued.
In the novel, he and her are like blogging friends, kind of, and they like are messaging back and forth or whatever, but he doesn't know her name. So he's like hunting her down, and he goes to Midway, and he's like knocking on doors and trying to find her. And it just, it's a little weird. So you guys did much better.
Oh my gosh.
It. Okay. It's more of the novel.
Phew. Let's get the stalker angle.
Plus,
well, can I just say that was when I missed during the regular whole, I mean, how can you miss something in that much of a time to see Christmas movies? But I managed to. So I just recently saw it and I was really taken with it. I was not expecting to be at all, but I loved the character. I'm blanking. I've got all my notes here.
Well, I particularly liked you and Christopher Russell in that movie, in Mystical Secret.
Yeah.
I think that Christopher Russell is the best playing kind of a jerk. I think he does a really good job being a jerk.
You mean the best vapid character?
Yeah, just kind of, he's sort of thoughtless and inconsiderate, but in a sort of a funny way. And I thought he did a good job.
But he came around in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was thoughtful.
He's just so darn good looking. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you just gotta hate
him. Square jaw, you talk about.
So good looking.
Yeah.
He's an incredible guy. But even doing, he is a giant. He's looking up at him begrudgingly to the entire movie. I'm sure it was fun to watch. But he's now, of course, nothing like that in real life. And that was a conversation me and him had right away. And we started doing the scenes. And he was like, is this kind of too much? And I was like, no, dude, like, just ride that lane. It's perfect. It's exactly what I hope that you would do. And so then I get to do my thing and we get to be, Chris Farley and David Spade. And it's a great
little
dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. I could definitely see that. Like there was you guys were, had a sweet friendship, but he was kind of, but at the same time, you're very frustrated with each other and it just worked. It was fun. And I think that's, he leaned into it and it worked for me. He did a good job. And as did you.
Yeah. I think that story, and I had this conversation, I think with Terry and maybe on a podcast or something with someone, I was saying, that story, because every time I get these scripts, I try to figure out, okay, what is it that's interesting about this? What is it that makes it kind of unique? And what are the qualities to sort of lean into? And then there's a sort of a second pass where you go, okay, what are all the things you kind of need to navigate and sort out? Otherwise, it's going to end up landing in the wrong way. And that movie kind of had a lot of those landmines in it where like, well, this dynamic between the two of us can really kind of be bad if it's not done correctly. But how do we make this work for us? And I personally, we have friends that we love despite of some of the things that they do. And sure. I thought that's the angle to make this sort of work is to not have him be malicious in any way and not having me be particularly overly upset about things. It's just walking that line between friends that love each other for who they are, despite the fact that they're so different and maybe bothered at times and overstepping their boundaries here and there.
Yeah.
So I think because that script had so many of those things to sort of work out, doing the work and figuring those things out ended up really working in our favor in the end, which was really nice. It was nice to see that people really responded to our sort of friendship and then just the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that really speaks to that execution. It was just spot on.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It made my top 10 Christmas Hallmark Christmas list. So I enjoyed
it.
Yeah.
It was good.
When you do these top 10 Christmas movies, are you talking like how far back are you guys going?
Oh, like just, well, no, it's just for last year. We did our top 10 and we did an episode where we did a top 10 non-Christmas Hallmark and top 10 Christmas Hallmark. And it's still, there's 40 movies, so it's still pretty good to make my top 10.
Absolutely.
Of the, 40 Christmas of the movies, really?
Yeah, there were 40 on Hallmark last year.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Brand new.
Yeah,
brand
new. New. So that was an intense experience. Plus, we reviewed all the non-Hallmark, too. So I watched and reviewed 115 Christmas movies on the podcast.
Oh my goodness! This is like a full-time job. You get to watch every single one of these.
Yeah, It basically is. I mean, during Christmas, well, really the Christmas season for me on the podcast started in September because the movies start in October. So we do our preview shows. We have our Lifetime preview show, non-Hallmark other channels preview show. We had two Hallmark preview shows. And so all that has to be planned. You have to plan all of the interviews that you're going to be doing and all the guest hosts that you're going to have on. It was a lot of work, but it was great. It's great to have a project and to be doing something that you really love. So I feel blessed.
And Rachel, great. You're so good at it.
You have an interesting point of view having to do all that. If you ever have any thoughts or points of views on ideas on where it should go or should not go or things I should do, by all means, you know, I try to I have other things that I'm doing, but I really try to do my due diligence to understanding sort of what the fan experience is, because mm-hmm. these movies are almost like a sport, you know what I mean? There's so many of them, and kind of know the way in which they're being made and sort of what to expect when we're watching them. And so I'm all ears when it comes to taking these stories and these sort of formulas that we're somewhat following and then finding ways to adjust them without going outside of the experience that we all love, but giving a new flavor or a new taste or a new experience within that framework is something that I'm very much interested in figuring out. So if you have any thoughts, and I'm all ears.
Yeah. One of the things I can say is that we as a community, at least everybody that I know, are really tired of party planning movies. Like in Winter and Veil, it worked pretty well because there was more to it than that. Because the problem is that sometimes the party planning movies, they end up feeling like a whole bunch of board meetings. Like they're there's not enough intimate moments between the couple because they're basically planning a business function. And so it ends up feeling really boring and you don't have a chance to get that chemistry. And so I think that one of the things that particularly in Falling for You and Flip That Romance that works so well is that there were like little ways they subverted expectations, particularly with the kiss in both those movies. Those were big hits. And the cell phone rings and you just keep on with the kiss. That was a huge hit.
Everyone was crazy with that.
And so I think stuff like that really helps it feel fresh, because there's nothing wrong with the formula. We love the formula, obviously. But when you don't get the chance to have that intimacy between the characters and feel that connection, it just feels boring.
It can be flat. And you know, the thing is too, it's entirely true. It's like some of us we start October 25th, and I'm not joking.
Yeah.
No matter where I am filming on set, whatever I'm doing, I literally will take instead of just my iPad or something, if I'm traveling during Countdown to Christmas, my computer's coming with me. Because wherever I am, I could be out, 19 days on set. I come home, it's like, I'm going to have my chill time and I get caught up on whatever's going on, because it just kind of centers me. It brings me back to kind of why I first fell in love with film in the first place and things like that.
Yeah.
Because it does, a lot of these movies harken back to, you know, the old Cary Grant formulas, you know, and Irene Dunne, and, you know, there's just such great stuff. And so they're not just an escape, but they, you know, they're feel good. It's like we all need some form of that in our life from some source. So by when you're starting October 25th, by the time you hit December, you're pretty, that's a long time to be watching, having Christmas movies on 24 hours a day. And as much as people love it, that's why they notice if there's something fresh.
If you want to watch one from just this last month that I felt like did such a great job, the Love in Store. And the thing that was so good about that one.
Oh my God. Can I just jump in and say Tyler Hines and Alexander Breckenridge?
Oh yes.
Raise the roof. Raise
that would be amazing. but anyway, what made that one so good is that it wasn't a party planning movie. Thank the Lord. But also it was set in like a QVC setting, and they were both like good at their jobs, and they were both really fun, and they both had like decent character motivation. Like you understood why, you know, why they felt the way they did. And there was enough intimate time with the two of them talking, and like they went to an escape room at one point. They did like cute activities that made it really good. It was definitely the best of this year for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This was good to hear, well, because she, you know, these are things that I think about, and I don't fully have control over those things, unfortunately,
sure.
But in the sort of nuances of these moments within them, I try to do what I can. But there has been some conversations I've had with some of these very nice, kind mm-hmm. executives that I've gotten to know a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's something that is really good to know for these movies. So if I end up start doing kooky things that you guys don't appreciate, just understand that I'm trying, okay?
Okay. I appreciate it. No. And you're very humble, and I appreciate that too. And we'll definitely keep giving you the feedback, and hopefully we have you on again, because it was too long. We waited too long in between interviews.
Yeah, I've got a little more experience under my belt, things to talk about. Happy to come back anytime.
Well, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us. This was really fun.
What a great surprise.
Yeah. To surprise your biggest fan.
Fun. I like this. Yeah.
Go, the wardrobe.
Sure, you know?
Yep.
I'm going to keep shipping you out. I'm going to keep shipping you to various people. I hope you don't mind. I believe in recycling. Yep. I think this is a good way of doing it.
Absolutely. You know, always here to have your back.
Well, do you want to share like your social media or anything like that, Tyler?
Yeah, I think you guys can find me on Instagram. It's Tyler_Hines. And I think Twitter is the same thing. And so always happy to chat there. Facebook, I think, is a thing as well. There's some nice fan pages, I think, that have popped up recently. And
yes,
I try to do my due diligence.
Really successful fan page there.
Oh, really? I have nothing to compare it to, but yes, it's very, 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 very sweet over there. And I try to pop in wherever I can on all of these platforms and sort of chat and have some back and forth with everybody. And if everybody can just please have patience, sometimes I'm not on there, or if I don't answer, I'm trying to keep my sanity a little bit, keep a little bit of balance, but I do try to manage myself so I can keep having these genuine interactions with all these good people, because I don't like sort of blasting out things or just sort of self-promoting. I like to actually just sort of chit-chat and have a good laugh with these folks. I want to keep doing that if I can. But, yeah, feel free to join me over there if you can.
Well, really we special. Sure appreciate it. And we'll be excited for your next movie. Good luck.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to go shoot two movies, I think, in the next couple months. So you guys will see that pop out.
Well, we will definitely be covering
it. Exciting.
Sure. Are you allowed
okay,
to tell
guys,
us?
Okay, guys, we'll enjoy the rest of your day. No, you I can't to, tell you. I'm scared of announcing.
Okay.
I repost.
All right.
That's my thing. I repost.
Okay. We'll look forward to it. Yeah. Thanks again.
Well, take care.
You'll hear about it, of course. Love you guys. Take care.
Okay.
Enjoy the
take
rest
care.
Of your day.
You too.
Bye.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh,
so,
my gosh.
There you go.
That was a riot.
When we were planning it, and you were, I don't know, asking all these questions and stuff, and I was, like, so tempted to, like, just trust me. Just trust me. It'll be fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I still want to do our little ranking really quick. It's only six movies, so it shouldn't take that long.
Absolutely. Well, let me get to my notes, because I really took this seriously.
Yeah. No.
Definitely. So dove deep on this one.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are a new sponsor, and we are really, really thrilled to be working with them. Also, I was so excited to see that we got to work with Sundance Now. And Sundance Now is a streaming service created by AMC Networks for people who appreciate thought-provoking storytelling and fresh perspectives. We're spoon-fed reality junk, competitive dating shows, and singers behind masks. Sometimes we need stories with thought behind them. Don't you want something that's good for your TV soul? Then it's time to check out Sundance Now. Sundance Now offers the best of true crime series, dramas, and thrillers from all over the world. Their original series, McMafia, State of the Union, and The Cry have received international praise and awards. You can stream Sundance Now on all your favorite devices. Just download the app or watch online and discover exclusive shows from around the world. And I really enjoyed watching the film Quiet Passion that stars Cynthia Nixon playing the poet Emily Dickinson. And it's a beautiful story about her family, about the society in which she lives, her spirituality, and her poetry, of course. And it's a great performance and a beautifully directed, made film, PG-13. I think that a lot of homemakers would like it. And that's the kind of film that you get when you subscribe to Sundance Now. $4.99 a month. It's an unbeatable price for award-winning content. So start streaming your next obsession. Try Sundance Now free for 30 days by going to sundancenow.com and use code Hallmarkies. That's sundancenow.com, code Hallmarkies for 30 days free streaming. sundancenow.com, code Hallmarkies. All right. Well, we're going to go in chronological order. And okay. That way we aren't talking about movies multiple times. And you'll just say what...
Perfect.
We'll go with the most recent and then go up to his first movie.
In terms of the rankings?
No, yeah. So you'll say what, we'll both say what number we have it at out of six.
Okay.
And I genuinely...
Talk about the movie, okay.
I genuinely liked all of these movies.
Oh my gosh, that's what's so hard. They're basically all tied.
It's really hard. So, all right. The most recent one we've had is Winter in Veil. Mm-hmm. And of course this had him and Lisa Chabert. And what did you think about this one?
You know, like we were talking about when we were chatting with Tyler, from the get-go, it really was fresh to me. I really loved that. And as I noticed when I went back and was watching all of his movies, kind of in, you know, order, it was so apparent the journey he's been on and evolving in terms of his comfort level, you know, bringing out his humor and all of that. And it seemed like there was such ease in that movie that it just flowed. And I have a special place in my heart for Austria and skiing and all that. And so it just ticked all the boxes for me.
Yeah, it was really cute. Strudelfest was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, and how about that? I didn't get that until after the fact when everyone was tweeting about it, the whole that Mean Girls reference, that in that movie, her dad was the Strudelfest or Mr.
The
Strudel,
poster,
whatever.
Poster Strudel.
King. The poster Strudel? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued to know, like, was that a plant? Like, did they plan on that? Or, because I didn't pick up on it right away. I was really lame about that.
I didn't actually either. So,
it was brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
It was brilliant.
It was just fun, like, seeing them make strudel together and plan the, I mean, that was party planning, but like, it didn't overwhelm the movie.
Right.
And so it worked for me. I still have it at number five out of the six. Because it is a party planning movie. And so right. if we were like, which one are you going to watch first? I would watch the other ones just slightly hair ahead of it.
Sure.
Elsie, you can't go wrong. And they had, you know, nice chemistry. I like the fact that she left and then came back. I always like it when there's sort of a little bit of space in between that. In that formula.
Right.
Yeah. Cause it just feels a little more realistic. So I like that. And the whole supporting cast was fun. It would end up as my five. Where's it for you?
Interesting. Oh, this is going to be dramatic. So it was my number one.
Oh,
which I'm telling you, this list has morphed and morphed and morphed and gone back and forth so many times because they really are like a tie, all of them. But you know what? I decided I was going to put my hat on, like my Tyler Hans hat on, uh-huh. and my shirt, of course, being shirts. Want to keep the wardrobe happy. So I came at it from the standpoint of it being a Tyler Hines movie. And, you know, I just couldn't get away from the fact that I thought it was the movie that had the greatest sense of ease that he had in it. You know, I mean, like watching that scene of them tubing down the hill, I swear, I felt like it was just like Lacey and Tyler going down the hill, having a hoot, and somebody's catching them. I feel like there was literally no acting involved there. Like they were just having a blast. And so that for me, really, that's why what made it number one is I felt like he was, and now I, you know, don't know him personally. We haven't hung out or anything. I have no idea. But just going on the vibe I get from him, I felt like that was kind of the most authentic, you know, type of situation. I don't know.
Yeah. But that, so no, that was it's that really fun one.
Impressive, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally does. All right. So then before that, we had the Mistletoe Secret. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did a good job of making this way better than the book, as I said in the interview.
Clearly. Oh my goodness.
And I really liked, I really liked the dynamic between Tyler and Christopher. And I thought that it was cute between him and Kelly. Kelly's not the best actress in the world, but.
You know, that's what was hard about that movie. I think that's probably why I didn't get around to seeing it so easily, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, but the thing compared to the Christmas and Wedding at Graceland movies, where she is expected to kind of be a performer or a former performer, here she's just like a simple waitress. And so I felt like her performance level fit the character pretty well. So I was more forgiving of her weakness. And I felt like it fit the character better. So I was fine with her in this. And they had nice chemistry. I thought their little interactions as they're decorating and he's being kind of a punk a little bit was cute. And
you know what? She's got great facial expression.
Oh, yeah.
I just noticed for the first time in this movie. And so, you know, her character was kind of vulnerable. And I thought she played vulnerable well.
Yeah, she did.
Especially across from Tyler, who his character was kind of doing the same thing where he was kind of just this bro. And then all of a sudden was like, whoa, you know, I'm having these feelings. What do I do about him? It was a Cyrano de Bergerac sort of story anyway.
Right.
So they both kind of had a lot to process, and I thought they pulled it off.
Yeah,
really, the execution was great.
And one of these things I hate in these kind of movies is when there's like an overdone liar reveal. You know, when there's like a mix up, and then the person's like, "How could you lie to me?" And it just always so false. And she had that for about 30 seconds in this, and then she got
so
over it, and
it was fine. I was so impressed with that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whoa, grown up alert.
Right.
We're having a grown up moment here.
So I have this at 4 in my ranking.
I have it at 4.
Yeah. So it's a fun movie. And I
it is.
A lot of the times I would end up putting Christmas movies just a hair over the non Christmas movies.
Sure.
But so that might also explain my Winter in Veil ranking, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. So, all right. Then next we had My Boyfriend's Back, Wedding March 5. So
this is our
fifth Wedding March movie. It's they're trying to beat Star Wars in Wedding March movies. I'm convinced. But you know, him and Cindy were so cute and great.
Definitely.
And there was some nice heart to their interactions together. I'm just not that big a fan of other Wedding March stuff. And this one was the best one.
No, I'm not a fan of this franchise. I'm going to be real on this one. And so it wasn't so much because it was a Wedding March movie. For me, it was actually, this is when the wardrobe was born. This movie. Yeah. This is during the conversations during this time was when I don't even have a clue to give credit to who, but when someone was floating out ideas for names and Heine's was one of them. And whoever of us were online at the same time, were like, yeah. We all threw our votes in and whoever thought it up, congrats on that one. That was great. And it just took, and we used that hashtag, I believe, while we were live tweeting. And then after that, the wardrobe got together, had a meeting, and decided that, you know, it was time to come out of the closet. you know, so the shirts. Nice. The shirts, yeah. You know, Heinz shirts with birth them.
I thought the first one was It's Christmas Eve. I thought that was the first.
No.
That was the first giveaway he did of a positive of his shirt.
Yeah, Ruth would know about that, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about Wedding March 5 was I really felt he hit his stride with his comedic timing. I mean, he has got this incredible timing with delivering lines that you don't really see in the earlier movies. It comes, for the first time, it comes out of Flip That Romance, but it was like full on, and I'm all about, I mean, just, you get me a good looking guy with who's comedic, and I'm like done for. I just so appreciate that combination. But I even like had a note here just about how he does this thing where there's these beats and pauses. And this is the thing like with directing that you really can't teach that with an actor. And he'll do this thing where he has this delayed beat delivery. It accents the sarcasm. And like, for instance, when they have their meet cute, you know, when he's there and he first arrives at the wedding and then Sidney Busby comes in and they're talking about, you know, the groom's like, oh, what a small world. And he's like, yes, very. It's a very small world. You know, like he has these beats where some other actor might be like, yes, it's a very small world. It's very, very small, you know. But like he has these beats, and also sometimes he'll drop his, you know, voice level down. And it'll be almost like a throwaway line if he's walking away or something. And it's just superb.
Yeah. Well, he's so good at the smolder and really like intensely like focusing on the partner that he's with, that you just feel that connection. It really works. And that was interesting to me to hear him say how he's able to develop that chemistry pretty organically. Yeah. And you can feel it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like one of my favorite lines with he and Cindy was when she's trying to put together the pergola or whatever for the wedding.
Yeah.
And she's clearly struggling and he comes out and he's offering his help and she doesn't want it. So he's walking away and he's like, just saying, you're busy. I'm handy. You know, I mean, he just like throws these, you know, it's like so, and I truly, stop me if I'm wrong, because you're the guru, but I can't think of another Hallmark actor who can do that. With such organic ease.
No, he's definitely unique. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
For sure. So
refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, this one is my number six just because of the Wedding March stuff of it. Like, correct. Olivia and Mick are
fair
ridiculous.
Enough.
They're behaving like 20-year-olds and they're in their 50s. Yeah. This is absurd.
It's a little tough. It can be a little cringeworthy at times.
In the fourth one, with them giving a promise ring, the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, all that stuff just is so flat and doesn't work at all and is ridiculous. And they just need to get married. I mean, give me a break. And so it's number six, but it's not for him, but it just says the movie.
And as I said earlier, having my Heinz shirt on, watching it, I put it at three. Just because of his evolution and what he was bringing to the Hallmark movie.
Sure.
That it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, you think about it. They had, you know, Andrew Walker in this series. They had Peter Benson in the series. They had, you know, they've had some pretty, pretty good, talented people. But, I mean, in my opinion, the best combo was this combo in Wedding March 5.
And you know what? Let me just go check on this because, of course, being the geek I am, I just did a, you know, I did a whole deep dive on this one. I was thinking this was one Nina was on for writing, but it wasn't. It was Kim Dyer Johnson. Yeah. So anyway.
No, Nina's on the next one. So yes, Nina wrote Flip That Banter. Romance. She did. I think she actually did a rewrite on it. Full page rewrite on it. But.
And I didn't realize that the EP Joel Rice came from Double Holiday, which wasn't Nina on that one too?
Yes. Yeah, she was.
With Christopher Plow. Yeah.
Yes.
So the whole witty banter thing. Yeah. So I immediately always think Nina when I come up with witty banter.
And we talked about this one quite a bit in the interview, but it was a really cute concept, the whole idea of these side-by-side renovations.
Yeah.
And the connection between them two, the kiss was so good.
It was such a groundbreaking Hallmark moment.
I know. It was. It was so good. And
oh my goodness, it was priceless.
It almost was a little too full, I'd say, the cast. You had maybe, I think, one too many side characters that you didn't necessarily need so many.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because now that you say that, I can figure it out. I had that feeling, but I didn't know where it was coming from.
Yeah, and because it's a little distracting sometimes when you have someone like Crystal Lowe or they're in like two scenes something like that. And the whole sort of mix up with the permit.
Yeah. and then the flooring. Wasn't it the flooring?
I think.
Yeah, and then them coming to interview them. There was just a lot going on.
It really was.
You know, added to that feeling that one feels mm-hmm. when they're renovating. But it was, there was something a little, like you said, it was a little too full.
But that's nitpicking. I really did enjoy it. I have it at 3.
And I have it. I'm so sorry. I got to get back to my, where is it? Okay. I got it at 2.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
And again, really coming from the standpoint of quote unquote being Tyler Hines movies, because that was the movie for me where his humor, because that was after It's Falling for You. So it was movie number 3 that he did. And I felt, when I hear the title, Flip Your Romance, I think of his head, the shining moment when his head comes through the wall.
Right.
That I was literally the shining moment. Oh my That's God. Funny. I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just insanely great. That was
And they did a pretty good job of making it feel like they were renovating. Like in comparison, I was not a big fan of the Danica McKellar, Andrew Walker design movie.
That did not work for me. That did not work for me.
There was just almost no, I felt like they spent more time in that movie playing bingo than designing anything. And because it was billed as this like rivalries, they're going to have different design aesthetics. They're going to have different styles. And it really wasn't at all. It was them like going and playing trivia and bingo. Yeah. And I don't know, that one was disappointing. This one, it did feel like they had genuine different design aesthetics and styles.
I love the reveal.
The reveal was fun.
Show where you're watching the reveal and they're walking through. I'm like, getting ideas and I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. So then we have It's Christmas Eve. So this is his first Christmas movie. And this also has a very witty script, but it's by Tracy Andreen, who is the co-queen of Hallmark writers. Her Julie Sherman Wolf and Nina are my 3 favorites. Well, 3 of my favorites. I loved so many of them. But they're really good at banter, the 3 of them. And what I think I liked the most about this movie was all the little sort of meta moments in the script, you know, where they're talking about, that's right, from romantic comedy. That's the meet cute. And that made it to me more fun. I thought she did a really good job with that. And I also was impressed. I thought Leanne did a good job and that there was more singing in general than I expected. Because a lot of times in these Hallmark movies, they'll sort of build it up as a music movie and there'll be like one song. But this, there were multiple songs and multiple songs that she wasn't even singing in. Like you had the mayor's son and and I thought that was cool. And
also I loved her humming and things. Mm-hmm. Like if you're someone who's very musical, you do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of a part of your day. And like when she was, I loved that. Yeah. No, that was great.
And they had great chemistry. And I thought that the whole sort of message with her, you know, grieving over, was it her dad?
Her father.
Her father, yeah.
Yeah,
father.
It was her father. And then adjusting to her mom's new husband.
Right. That really worked. If I was going to nitpick in this movie, I don't understand her job. Because she was supposedly a superintendent of schools, but she was on the road a lot. What? Like, you don't travel as a superintendent of schools.
Yeah, consultancy.
She was like all over the country or something. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here.
No, but it was a very sweet, calm movie. I really liked it.
Yeah,
of course, I loved the shawl sweaters. I mean, that's kind of almost like the winter version of the Henley.
Right.
You know, for the wardrobe. And I love seeing him with the little girl in the movie. I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Summer
they had
Gilmore.
A really cute relationship.
That was a great dynamic. Yeah. I think that's been the only movie where he's had a daughter, right? Or a child? Or
I think so, yeah. Only one.
I think so, yeah. It was a very soft version of him.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, again, because of the fact that we were talking in the context of his movies, I mean, again, these all are basically tied in my book.
Right.
So I'm nitpicking putting them in any form of order. But for me, I felt, in comparison to his other movies, kind of like yeah, okay, I see that this was his first movie. Yeah, kind of a hesitancy. It was very soft. It was very cautious. That's the word.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah, which makes sense. But so, I mean, literally, I'm completely splitting hairs here trying to get a numeric order for these films because I love them all.
Right.
It's like trying to choose between your children. No. So
I have this at 2 for me.
Okay. And I have this as 6.
Right. Okay. Last one, first one to air is Falling for You.
Yes.
And there's so many things I love about this movie. It's my number one. It's one of my favorite of recent years, non-Christmas Hallmark movies. And there were a lot of things I loved about it. First of all, I love the fact that they both of their jobs are taken seriously and they're like actually grown-ups. And there were so many things they did in that movie that really subverted expectations. Like, for instance, he goes to the meeting, right? And and instead of being there for her, and which is a rational decision because his business is just as important as her business. And
absolutely.
Anyway, so instead of, I hate the scene in these movies where someone's giving a speech and they're like, I have to leave now. I have to, you know, go back to, I'm in the wrong place. I always hate that. It feels so false. And, you know, finish your speech, just finish and then go. And I so appreciated that they had him like schedule it earlier and then he shows up and like it was a little corny that like the crowd parts ways and there you see him there. But to me it was like so swoon-worthy. I loved it. And I loved the fact that she actually took the job in the city. What?
Yeah.
That never happens.
And
he was just like, I'm going to be there for you, whatever you need. Like, it was just so sexy to me. And, and then also I mean, the whole thing with the Bachelor Bake Off was hilarious and ridiculous.
Truly.
Because it doesn't really make sense. Like why, like a Bachelor Bake Off, you're, it's basically like buying a date. You know, with the person, right? And so why is the mother bidding? I have no idea, but it was so funny to me. And
I love me some Lenny Evans.
Yeah. And then I also loved the kiss in that movie. I about died because
was very good. Yeah.
Because we had so many near kisses in a row in movies and I was getting so tired of them. And there's like the littlest sound that breaks them up, you know, first on the bridge. And I was like, I was really irritated.
Here
and
we go.
Then she just goes for it. And I was like, yes, I'm so excited. And so I absolutely loved that kiss. It was so good. And I thought they had great chemistry and all the fall stuff worked for me and I just really enjoyed it. So it's my favorite. It's my number one.
Yeah. And also ironically directed by one of your faves, Peter DeLuise.
That's true. That's true.
And then for me, I love
written
Pumpkin
by
Pie Wars, and I noticed
who I also love.
Yes. Yes. And he wrote for that Love in Store.
Yes, she did.
She did.
And she did Miss Christmas, which is which is amazing. So she's great. So good.
So there was definitely a lot of really good people behind that.
Mm-hmm. So it's my favorite. What do you
think? Oh, so you've got that for number one.
I do. Yeah. I have it number one.
Wow. I have it in number 5.
Okay.
And again, this is literally like ranking my tied movies. Again, to stress and emphasize. But for me, Falling for You again, kind of harkening back to what I said about It's Christmas Eve, he was so new in it that I felt like it was great, because I felt like it was the first time we saw all these different aspects of him and the different things he was going to continue to ultimately bring to his Hallmark movies. But it was all still so new. He wasn't like letting loose in any of those type of dynamics yet, as he did further on in the the rest of the movies. So that was just what it was for me. It was still, kind of a little bit of a holding back from what ultimately we would see from him.
Well, that's great. So, well, let us know if you're listening what your ranking would be and what you think of all these movies and what you thought of what Tyler had to say. That thank you so much to Tyler for doing that and coming on. That was really fun.
Awesome.
And thank you for coming on and talking. This was a lot of fun. And why don't you tell people about the Twitter handle and if they can follow?
So The Wardrobe is busy at work, always looking to support Tyler. And we know you all are too. So Twitter is at Hein Shirts, and at Instagram now. We're on Instagram. So we're at Hein Shirts on Instagram. Yes.
Great. Exactly. Well, very good. Well, thank you again. And we will we'll have to have you back on again. Maybe finish these two movies.
Exactly.
And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Homebookies Pod and Homebookies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We really, really appreciate it. We have our patron group, which is also really great and is such a help to us and allows us to do these fun things. And then we have our merch store, which has tons of fun shirts. So if you want shirts, check that out. The information's all in the description section. So we'd love for your support. And thanks again for coming on the podcast, and we'll talk again soon.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. Take care, Rachel.
Bye, everyone.